reigns forever. He reigns forever in the heart, in the spirit, huh? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, we want to welcome Pastor Shabelli back from Africa. He's right over here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He, 3 weeks. I mean, what this man does by God's grace and what has happened through him is extraordinary in Africa and wherever he goes. But conferences in Ghana, in Togo, folks from Benin and Burkina Faso and Ivory Coast and Cameroon. I guess 8 new churches in Cameroon now. How many folks here are from Cameroon? Just raise your hand if you're from Cameroon. There is a group. And that's a beautiful country. There's the British part and the French-speaking part. And this is important to us. This is the Lord working and moving. Amen. But I live in Baltimore, you could say. Well, that's a great, praise the Lord for that. That's the mission. But I'm in another kind of Africa. I'm in Baltimore. I'm in the United States. We will be going to Costa Rica for a few days, the end of the week. Brent Helinga has organized a conference there, and we're going to go there and minister there for 4 or 5 days. And that's another kind of mission field. And then the good news that we hear from different places. And in our families, it's another kind of mission. And being a mom and being a dad, living in the days that we are living in and having roots in ourselves. This is our subject this morning, having roots. It's taken from Matthew 13, that particular one. We're not going to park there, but let's see if we can find that particular phrase that I'm looking for. It's in Luke 8, maybe that Matthew 13. I know where it is on the page. Read it for 40 years, so I know what it is. And where are we? Okay, Luke 8:13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root. Okay? The rock, the seed that goes on the rock, they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They have no root. Jonathan and a group of us were in the sauna yesterday at my house, and we had a little talk. And one brother said, "We said, if in this church, if my best friend leaves the church, do I leave the church also?" Okay, is this on this microphone? Jonathan, come on up. Jonathan's from Sweden. I have to say, it's such an honor that we have people. Daniel's from Romania. Jonathan's Swedish. Banskus from Finland. Leah is from Hungary. Yeah, these people come to our Bible college here to be men and women of God like him. It's amazing. Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to... Did we say that in the sauna?
Yes, we did.
Okay, can you repeat to them what we said?
Yeah, and just simple super unprepared, but I will try to say. So we were doing sauna yesterday, and we were speaking about if we, in the church, in the ministry, if we have a our best friends, our family, and all the pastors. And the reason why I come to church, the reason why I come faithfully, and to honor God in the church, and to be with the body. But if stuff happens, if my friends leave me, or if the pastor says something, or if whatever it might be, that I'm here to follow God. And if something happens, it's so easy for me to get out of the plan of God and follow man. And I think, I said that to myself, like, search my heart, because it so easily can be that I'm following man and not following God. And that we have that, that we think about that and ask ourselves that. And that's a little bit what we talked about.
Very good.
Thinking about.
Well, didn't he do a good job? It's great. Okay, so roots. Where? Like in myself. What do I believe? Not just what my friends believe. What do I believe? You know, at work, what are people talking about, what they're thinking and doing and everything? What do I believe? What is in me? What are the roots? This parable is that the seed, which is the Word of God, falls and it's received. But then the Word doesn't get roots in me. You know, I hear a good message, very good message, very good message. But it's got to be, you know, it's me and the Lord. And that Word being part of my mind, my frame of reference, my life, how I think, how I live. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. As a pastor, it is my greatest joy to think that this goes deeper than this. It's not just there, but it's really taking, you know, root. All right, so two references here. And this is, the first one is, do you think that Jesus had roots in himself? Meaning, did what he believed and how he lived and what he said was coming from another kingdom and it was working in him? It was real in him, you know. So turn to Matthew 4, please, and we will see that. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Was he prepared? Was he prepared for the temptation? He was. He was loaded. He was. He had no sin nature, but he had the possibility to decide and to sin. This is important. He couldn't sin in the sense that he was God. God cannot sin. But in the sense that he is Christ, all the theologians that are worth their weight in salt would say it would not be a temptation if it couldn't have happened. You know, fish don't fly. Are they tempted to fly? They're not tempted to fly because they can't. They don't know anything about it. They live in the water, right? That's okay, flying fish, okay. I know where you're going. I know. But, You know, cows can't fly, okay? Let's get past that. Cows can't fly. They're not tempted to fly. They can't do it. There's no temptation if it can't happen, right? Could Jesus have sinned? You have to say yes, he could have, or else it would have never been in the picture. He was tempted of the devil, but he didn't sin because he had this nature, this spirit and word, and he had this nature that was from, that was the nature of God in a man. He was a new man. He was a different kind of man. And the good news, sisters and brothers, is that you and I have that nature. 2 Peter 1:4. We have a new nature. We have a capacity to live like him. We can walk in his steps. We can have roots that go in us deeply. Now look at chapter 4, verse 2. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. This is more serious than it reads. When somebody is starving to death, they go through a long period, they're hungry, they get over the hunger, and just before they die at 40 days, it's about the period of time when you're facing death from not eating, they go ravenously hungry. A starving man who is going to die, he goes, it's the last kick of the human body. When this was happening to Jesus, when he's at that place, would be out of his mind for food, ravenously hungry, he was tempted by the devil to turn these stones into bread. But guess what? He could say no. He could say no. I want you to learn to say that word. No. You know, let's practice it. No. Like, say no, talk back to the devil. No, it's not going to happen. No, that's amazing. We have to be tough in a certain sense. We're going to explain it in a minute. But I want you to see in these three temptations, the devil did not have a handle on Christ. You know how in your luggage, you got a handle, you got a rope, you got a handle, you got a back strap, you got some way to grab it, you got a handle. Well, the devil wanted Jesus' handle. I want his handle. I want to get his handle. He must be obedient to me. I can manipulate him. I can control him. I can tempt him. I can drive him away from his Father. I can cause him to sin like I did the first Adam. I can do it. The devil is saying, I can do it. And Christ is saying, no, can't happen. Because of love. My Father loves me. And I love my Father. My Father is my God. And I have no other God. You will suffer then, Jesus. You will suffer. Bring it on. I'd rather follow my Heavenly Father, whatever might happen, bring it on. My Father is enough. You're lying to me and saying that my Father is not enough, and you are lying to me and saying that you are the answer. You are not the answer. My Father is the answer. This is very important, very fundamental for us. Because we have two natures in us. And one of those natures is saying, I got to do it my way. I got to get it. I got to make it convenient, comfortable. I got to make it work. I got to live by my appetites. I got to pay homage to my desires. I have an allegiance to my survival. I have to survive. I have a nature of my flesh, that lives without God, without faith in God, and I don't know God. My flesh is my flesh. My appetites, my desire, my sin nature, my life without God. But through our new birth, we've been given a new nature, and it dwells in the same body. It's in the same physical body. My sin nature is in my body, and actually, I understand the Bible saying that it's linked to my material body, that my sin nature is linked to my DNA. It's linked to my material body. I have a sin nature where my material body is saying, you know, you need food, you need sleep, you need water, you need warmth, you need the shelter, you need the, and then your soul, and you need security, you need value, you need love, you need protection. Then in a, you know, you need to take care of yourself. And then God, Christ comes and he's saying, yes, we have a human body. I sleep, but it's my Father that gives his beloved sleep. Don't forget the Father. Don't forget God. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He is God. He loves you. And his way is not the way of the flesh. His way is the way of the Spirit. My Father. I always do my Father's will. Even if it results in the cross, I will do my Father's will. My Father, my Father. I love my Father. I know the world differently from the way you know the world. You are consumed with yourself. I am consumed with the Father. I have found the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the way of God. I have found my Father in his hand. He opens his hand and satisfies every living thing. My Father's ways are not your ways. My Father's thoughts are different from your thoughts. My Father, I will show you the Father. This is what happened to the disciples. They followed Jesus and they learned of God as Father. So this leads us to our text in Romans 8, verses 11 to 15. I think because of what the Lord just shared with us, what we just said, this text will be very meaningful to us about having roots in us, in the Spirit. Let me make a point here. We're going to look at, can you go to Romans chapter 8, 11 to 15, please? Use the King James Version. Okay. Good to see David Peterson here. Wow. David and Kathy, great. Good to see you. Wow, great. Okay, this is a good point. It'll come out in what we want to say here. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. All right, Jesus is dead. Was he dead? Was he dead? Past tense. Was? Let the people of God say. Yes. Yes, okay, amen. He was dead. Cold, dead. He was gone. He was dead, a dead man. And the Spirit of God raised him up. What kind of resurrection power is that? Yeah, a dead man lives. Spirit raised him up. And if the Spirit lives in you, this is a rational argument that the same Spirit that raised him up also lives in our mortal body. Then what kind of effect does that Spirit have on us? Does it make us alive? Do we live a healthier life physically? Does it affect my physical body? I believe it does. I believe it says in Proverbs chapter 4 that the Word of God is health to my flesh. I think it affects the body, but it affects also the soul and the spirit of a person. It's the roots here. The same spirit that raised him up from dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall restore life in your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Go to the next verse 12, please. Therefore, now here's a line of logic. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit affects my mortal body, then what? Then what? What does it mean? What does it mean if like I'm like tired or sick and then I'm like healed and I'm awake and I feel the freedom, the joy, the peace. I sit in the church and I'm like on the edge of my chair in a certain, I'm there, like listening. I got something. The Spirit is saying something to me. How does this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to, I want to put in there, not to the devil. The devil says, turn the stones into bread. And we say no. And the devil says, you have to do it. And you can say, you can take a long walk off of a short pier. Okay. I don't owe you anything. I don't have any allegiance to you. I'm not going to do what you say. My appetite is a very real one, but I'm not in debt to my appetite. How about some of the men here, women too, I'm sure, appetite for sexual life. That's a strong appetite that people have. And there is sex that is right, that is in marriage, but outside of marriage, it isn't right. So I'm a debtor to my sex drive. Well, this says, I'm not a debtor. Talk back to it. I'm not a debtor. Walk away from it. And those roots of truth go in your spirit. And the spirit leads us in freedom. Not fear or guilt or shame, or a closed world of my appetites. And there are many appetites, not simply sex, but an appetite for acceptance, a appetite for success, an appetite for material gain. I have many appetites in my flesh and many desires, but this says I am not a debtor. I don't owe them. I don't have an allegiance to them. I don't have to pay attention to them. Paul said, I take my body and I buffet my body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27. It's like I'm in control of my body. I am in control of my body. How I eat, how I sleep, what I do, and the appetites I have in my body are subject to a higher law, a higher thing. Let's read it. Verse, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Next one. For if all of you live after the flesh, all of you shall die. This means when I sin, and I do, but I'm learning, I know what it is. It's sin. I know what that is. I recognize it. And the effect of the sin is that I die in a spiritual way. I become more aware of myself. I am more selfish. I lose sight of God. I lose sight of the important things. I'm more afraid. I want to close down. I control my environment more. I fear. I'm not free. I am more afraid. I am more guilty. I am more worried about what people say or think about me. It's not a happy thing to live in sin. It's death. It's death in my soul. It's death in my thought life. And by the way, there are studies on this, how pornography in any culture where a man has more than one woman, the culture is on a decline. And the creativity of the men is diminished. Do some studies on the effects of pornography psychologically to men. And they have the evidences there in the studies that men lose their creativity and their energy and their freedom. It's another way, actually, of saying these verses. Let's read. But if all of you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, next one, all of you shall live. This word live is a big word. This sin leads me in death, and the Spirit leads us in life, freedom, joy, peace, capability, love, others. How can I help you? What is your need? Others, like, oh, there's a new person. I wonder how they're doing, just in the leading of God, encouraging them. In our country, what does our country need? Like, I'm here to be a servant of God. How can I help in our country? What could we do in prayer? What could we do in an outreach? How can we help our country? Our young people are in trouble. What could we do? There's a life ministry that comes from the Spirit. Let's read 14 and 15. It goes, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For all of you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but all of you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Abba, Abba. So here's the flesh and my sin. I know what that is. But then I say in my heart before Jesus, I say, Jesus, you promised me victory over sin. I take it. I have victory over sin. You said that. It's a spirit of freedom. It's a spirit of victory over sin. And I call you Abba, meaning daddy, or the Aramaic word daddy. Affectionately calling God, something that the Jewish people never would dare do. But Jesus introduces it to us, and he says, call and pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. I believe the word Father is 8 times in our Old Testament, 80 times in our New Testament. Father. God is our Father. God is our deliverer. God is saying to us, don't pay and don't feel like you're indebted to your flesh. It's a lie. You died and been raised from the dead. Now walk in the spirit of liberty and walk with God so that you're able to say, I really do love God. I really do love God. I think it's beautiful. God is with us. I'm saying that as all of us as believers in the Spirit of God, we're able to say, I love God. God loves me. I love God. I love holiness. I love freedom. I love the joy. I don't want to mislead you into believing that any of us are perfect in any way. We are not. We have both natures. But it's very possible because of the roots that are in us that we're able to, in a regular way, in a consistent way, we're able to say the truth sets us free. The truth is better than a lie. The truth is deep and personal. The truth will never let you down. That truth is liberating. That truth enlightens our eyes. The truth opens up the scripture. That truth is leading me in a fellowship with my Heavenly Father, just like Christ would say. He would say, the Father did it. The Father has a kingdom. The Father is the way. The Father leads you in and out. The Father sent the Son so the Son could set you free. The Son laid down His life so that you could have abundant life, not just a wrestling match with your sin nature, but you would have a spirit, the Holy Spirit, of freedom and joy. That's it. That's what we wanted to say. Yeah, let me finish with this one. Second Chronicles 25, there was a king. He made a mistake. Anybody here ever make a mistake? All the time. 2 Chronicles 25, this king of Judah was going to go to war. And so he decided to buy or hire an army. And he was hired them for the price in verse 6. What's the price? 100 talents of silver. Pastor Steve Anilonis over here made a quick calculation this morning. When I asked him what was that in American money, he said it's $1.65 million. That's what this king paid for the army he was hiring. A man of God came and said, cancel it. We don't need the army. God's with us. The king said, I can't. I already hired. The money's already gone. I got the army. And the prophet said, Verse 7, there came a man of God saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. Nope. Verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 1.6 million which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Drop it. Forget it. Let it go. Forget about it. Drop it. You lost it. Forget it. Drop it. We're following God. Wait a minute. I paid $1.6 million. You think I'm going to let that just go? I paid. I'm into this thing. Let's go for it. And the man of God said, God's not in it. God is not in it. God is not in it. It's so much fun to say. God is not in the thing. He's not in it. Drop it. Forget it. Cancel it. Drop it. Have you ever gotten into a thing like that? And you say, I can't back out. One brother told me, he goes, the day I got married was the darkest day of my life. He said, God was saying to me all every step of the way, don't do it. Don't do it. He goes, it was the worst day. God was telling me all the way, don't do it. But once you get in that, and I'm saying this like for everybody, I think it's a tragedy for that to happen to any woman or any man, of course. And we're saying this to just illustrate what we're saying and bring some light on the subject. There are people that get into business deals and they feel they are a debtor to that deal. You are not a debtor to lying and cheating. You are not a debtor in any relationship to anybody that would mislead you outside of God. You don't do it. You don't do it. You follow truth. You got roots in yourself. You make some decision. Can't. No. I'm not going to lead another lie to another lie to another lie because I'm a debtor to my flesh. And God is saying, you are not a debtor to your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Do the right thing. Honor me. Make your confession. Admit it. How about this? We all know Route 95. If you go the wrong way, you're going to head to Florida. And I always see the birds on the line over the road. You ever see the birds on 95 on the phone line? And I tell my grandchildren, I say, The birds facing that way are counting the cars coming from Florida, and the birds facing that way are counting the cars coming from New York. That's what the birds are doing. Okay. I get out on the road, and I'm going the wrong way. But my wife said, we're going the wrong way. I just saw the sign for Virginia. We're supposed to be going to Maine. I don't pay any attention to it. We're going this way. We're committed to this thing. We're in this thing. We're going to end up, we changed our plans. We're going to Maine. We're going now to Florida. I'm a debtor to it. I'm a debtor to a lie. I'm a debtor to a manipulation. I'm a debtor to a payment that I made. I'm a debtor to the error. I'm a debtor to the mafia. I'm a debtor to the corruption. I'm a debtor to the criminal. I'm a debtor to the liar. You know you're not. You're not. And the biggest liar are not the liars on the outside of you. The biggest liars are the ones on the inside of you. That's where our problem is. And when you go to sleep on a Friday night with your head on the pillow, you're all alone. When you're all alone laying on that pillow, you have to talk to yourself. And if you're lying, and you know you're lying, and you're lying again, and you're not going to get very far in this world with God. And God wants your best. He wants your promotion, your honor. He wants to crown you. But you got to start somewhere. And you got to start right here and say, I am not a debtor to my sin nature. I am walking in the spirit of liberty and freedom with the living God who's going to take care of me. And nobody has any right to manipulate me or control me. I can talk back to the devil and I can say, not going to happen. I'm starving to death, but I'm believing in my heavenly Father, and I'm not a debtor to my flesh, and I'm not a debtor to the devil. I'm not a debtor to the world. They can say and do whatever they want to, but do not fear them that can, kill the body, but fear him rather that can throw the body and soul into hell. We got a better way. Boy, that's a good way. I'm happy about it, and I'm glad you and I were on the same train. Hallelujah. Going in the same way with our Heavenly Father leading and guiding us. And you know what? I believe the more that we are living in this spirit of freedom and liberty, the more good things will just be showered on us. He will take care of us. He will honor us. He will give us what we need, and we'll finish the race and glorify him and say, he did it. He did it. He did it. He taught me. He showed me. He helped me. He did it. God is God. Glory to God. God did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You are awesome. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus, come to Jesus. It's so awesome. He forgives you. His arms are stretched out wide on the cross for you. He receives you. He is saying, come, I love you. The Heavenly Father sent him for you so you could know him and walk by faith in him. Anyone saying the prayer of salvation this morning, just raise your hand, put it up and put it down. Put up your hand, just say, yes, I'm saying the prayer of salvation. I am doing that right now on the internet. Anyone at all? Ushers will give you a booklet. We will pray for you. God bless you.